Agenda item number nine, report and possible discussion on legislative update by Matt Phillips, Governmental and Legislative Affairs Manager.
Good morning. I don't have anything nearly as fun to show you as Courtney, but I will try to give you all a high-level legislative update. Obviously, we're really early in the process, but another session is upon us. Yay. Everybody get excited. So kind of hitting the high notes. Let me advance this slide, point it that way. At a very high level, there's a couple things about this session that are a little bit different than the last few. The first of which is new leadership in the House. The House has a new speaker, Dennis Bonham from Angleton. They're happy to hear that. So for years they've had Speaker Joe Strauss, who chose not to seek re-election, vacating that seat, and they've elected a new speaker. And I think the second thing that's kind of new about this session is related to the first thing, and that's that the big three in leadership, that being the governor, lieutenant governor, and the speaker, all seem to be playing together and getting along really well. I think when you have a shakeup in leadership, it presents the opportunity for cooler heads to prevail, maybe people to start getting along a little bit better. So right now, as we sit here today, which again, we're really early in the process, the big three are in lockstep on a few or four issues that they've made it very clear they want to address this session, and I've listed those here: school finance, property tax reform, hurricane relief, and school safety. I will tell you that as the session wanes on, and as the days and the nights get longer and tempers get shorter, things start dying, it will be interesting to see if this kumbaya that we're having right now continues. I think I'm optimistic that it will, but we'll see. In terms of where each body is in moving stuff forward, normally I would be standing here telling you that committee assignments are going to come out later this week or next week or even the week after. But surprisingly, both the House and the Senate have already appointed committees and appointed committee chairs. It's not necessarily unprecedented for the Senate to have done it by now, because they've only got 31 members. It's a little bit easier, but for the House to have already named their chairs and committees this quickly is pretty abnormal. So they've gotten out to a pretty fast start. From our standpoint, the committees that we work with that have jurisdiction over our issues haven't changed much. The chairs are the same. In the House, Lyle Larson remains the chair of the Natural Resources Committee, so this will be his third session chairing that committee. On the Senate side, what used to be the Senate Ag, Water, and Rural Affairs Committee has changed a little bit in that they've taken Ag out of it and made it its own committee. So now you have the Senate Committee on Water and Rural Affairs, but Charles Perry from Lubbock continues to chair that committee and have jurisdiction over water issues. So from our standpoint, the membership on those committees has changed a little bit. It's shuffled some, but not a ton, not in any way that's really going to affect us. With committees being in place, what that means is they can start referring bills and they can start having committee hearings on bills to move them through the committee process. Now, neither body can act on any measure in front of the full body for the first 60 days unless it's been declared an emergency by the governor. The governor has yet to declare any emergency items, but the State of the State address is coming up here in the next week or so, and it's usually during the State of the State that the governor declares those emergency items. I wouldn't be surprised to see any one of these four things get declared emergency items so that they can start having hearings and maybe move stuff to the full body on those four things within that first 60-day time frame. I hit a button, but I didn't want to worry. Here we go. Go ahead.
Filed a bill about property tax
and a couple.
Increasing the sales tax by one penny.
Yes.
That's not a good deal.
There's a lot of ideas floating around out there about how to reduce property taxes and what to replace them with. The sales tax swap has been floated out there.
I'm talking about school tax, I'm talking about county taxes.
Right. And I don't know how much chance any of that has to go anywhere, but we'll see.
I think it's a play.
Yeah, most of the discussion on the property tax issue is again related to the school finance subject, with the idea being if the state can inject additional state funding into public schools, you could see a reduction in school taxes. At least that's supposed to be the case. We'll see how that goes. Now, again, big picture, both sides, both the Senate and the House, have put out their initial budgets, and both of them do inject a ton more money into public education. I think the Senate's version injects an additional $4 billion. The House's injects an additional $7 billion, so they're only $3 billion off. But, you know, I will say in the grand scheme of a $120 billion budget, $3 billion is not really that much, so they're pretty close. So to the extent that they can inject additional state funding into those processes, one would hope they could use that to work on the property tax issue as well. So we'll see where they go. Dialing down into kind of our issues a little bit more, we talked a lot during the interim about knee-jerk reactions from Hurricane Harvey and some of the policy implications that might come out of that, and things that we were worried about. You know, the Senate and the House were having interim committee hearings discussing any number of things, some of which were a little scary to us. Thus far, most of the legislation that's been filed has focused kind of on these first three things: planning, mapping, and implementation of infrastructure to mitigate future flood. There's been a bill filed to create a state flood planning process similar to the statewide regional water planning process. In terms of our role in the legislation that's been filed thus far, we have very much a role as a facilitator. You know, they see river authorities as being able to do things like our lower basin floodplain mapping study, where we can act as the conduit for Water Development Board funding. We hire the consulting engineer. We help run the study for a group of local entities. It's a role that we're not unfamiliar with, one that we're good at, one that we see as a role for us in the future. In terms of the state flood plan, where they have river authorities in that is that river authorities are essentially the administrative agents for these regional flood groups that would be put together. So similar to our role as the administrative agent for the Brazos G Regional Water Planning Group, where we host the meetings, we do the postings, and so we help them be able to put their plan together. The funding from the Water Development Board to hire the consulting engineer would flow through us to do the flood plan work. So none of these are roles that we would particularly have a problem with taking on. They're roles that we're familiar with now, and none of them come with any, at least currently, any sort of unfunded mandate, meaning we would be using state funding that would flow through us to do all of these activities. In terms of implementation of strategies that would come out of these plans, at present, the bills that have been filed are voluntary, meaning they don't require you as a river authority to come in and implement all these flood strategies. Obviously, we don't do flood mitigation. We're a water supply entity. So they give you the opportunity to choose if you would like to take part in those types of projects. Otherwise, they can be locally implemented by counties and flood districts and MUDs and cities and whoever. They do open the door for the possibility of, if we wanted to, if there were a project in the future that some of this planning kind of brought to the forefront that had both a flood mitigation benefit but also a water supply benefit, similar to the Corps of Engineer reservoirs that we have in our basin where they serve a dual purpose, both flood control and water supply, we might be interested in those. And so at present, they give us the opportunity to choose to involve ourselves in those projects if we want to. So we'll see where those end up as they move through the process. What hasn't been filed, and we were all very concerned about this during the interim, is bills related to the changing of reservoir operations. So that being requiring pre-release from reservoirs, seasonal lowering of reservoirs. None of that's been filed up to this point. In fact, the House Committee on Natural Resources interim report that came out in December, shortly before the session started, made it very clear that they did not believe pre-release would be an option at all, and not one that the legislature should pursue. So that's a good thing. Now, that doesn't mean bills won't get filed on it, but up to this point, they haven't, and that's a good thing. Groundwater, an issue that we're always watching because it's discussed every session. There have already been a couple of bills filed this session that are similar to bills filed last session that didn't pass, that attempt to reform how groundwater districts operate. They look at things like requiring export permits to be issued for the same length as production permits, so that exporters aren't unfairly discriminated against by giving you a permit that says that you can produce for 10 years, but you can only export for two. They also create more public process for when districts can place moratoriums on permitting. They require public hearings, public meetings before districts can say we're no longer going to issue permits at all. So things like that, things that, again, were not successful last session, they'll get discussed again this session. We're primarily a surface water entity, but groundwater is something that we've had interest in the past and will continue to have interest in the future. So we'll watch these just to see what the playing field will be when we get to that point. Issues affecting local governments, obviously we watch these every session. These are changes to open meetings, open records, local government conflicts, disclosure, ethics, the stuff that you all have to do. They tinker with that stuff every session. Sometimes changes are good, sometimes they're bad, but we just need to know what they are. And then eminent domain, as an entity with eminent domain authority, we keep an eye on eminent domain related legislation. Eminent domain is not something that we like to use. It's always a last resort for us. Thus far, the legislation, the main legislation that's been filed on eminent domain relates to private entities and their use of eminent domain authority. So think of pipeline companies, high-speed rail, those type of things. They do not, at least at present, affect public entities, but they could. So we'll continue to watch those so that we can be up to date with any changes the legislature might make to public entity eminent domain authority. It's a short update. It's really all I have. Let me say this, and I'll shut up. The update I will give you in April will be much more in depth. I'll have bill numbers and summaries of stuff that's moving. The reason for that is it's really hard to tell what's going to get legs right now. Lots of stuff's getting filed. You know, by April we'll have a better idea of what's moving, and so I'll be able to give you guys an idea of what on all of these subjects is going anywhere, what it does, what its final form might look like, and just kind of give you a more clear picture.
And as things come in hot, we'll keep that on the GM update on Fridays too, if there's deals that we need you to be aware of.
My question for you was at a local level down in Harrison, Fort Wayne County, with the most recent election changes in Alex Creek. Is it just too early yet to get a feel for with the new county judges and new people in place, how that may or may not affect Alex Creek?
Probably too early to tell right now. Yes, I would say we're continuing to attempt to make progress with the city on getting that project moved forward, but it's too early to tell how those local elections are going to affect that right now. And we're, at least for us, as it relates to the city, still working with the same people. Other questions?
This is related to legislation.
It's the state essentially creating a fund similar to, you remember a few sessions back they passed House Bill 4 and they created the SWIFT fund, mm-hmm. which is meant to fund projects in the state water plan. Mm-hmm. So infrastructure implementation of flood strategies, they're looking at potentially creating a similar fund for projects that the state flood planning process would
bear. So the state development board would be involved. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it would be run through them. And what they would do is, and this is where it gets tricky, in order to initially fund the seed money for that flood implementation fund, they would take money out of the rainy day fund. And as you would imagine, that fund's got a lot of eyes on it right now. A lot of people, you know, you see one bill that's going to take money out of it, then you see two, and then five, and then 10, and then eventually a lot of people take money out of the fund. We'll see where it goes. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.